This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. It was just 3 weeks ago when Kumar Kathigesu was here to tell us about the Surya India Festival. Today, he's here to assure us that beyond KL, Penang and JB, there are occasional cultural events taking place in the smaller towns like Ipoh.
Yes.
I think saying that, I will have people calling up and slamming us. In a way, it's kind of part jest.
Yes.
How often does your group or you yourself go out of KL, Malacca, Penang? How often do you go out of the major areas to perform your music?
Good day, Soon Heng. And well, the short answer is not nearly enough. We would like to do more. And I think most musicians, most artists today look at outreach, look at trying to connect with people from various regions in the country. But then it's the opportunity, it's the platform.
When you say outreach straight away, I see that as a charitable or a program where you don't get paid.
You know, for musicians like myself, the salary aspect, the monetary aspect or the reward is something that we need, but we don't exactly, at least I don't strive for. More important is this art, this culture that we have cultivated over these many years. How do we bring it out there to the people? And I mean, in the major cities, you have the platforms, you have the institutions, you have the wedding receptions, you have the corporate events, you know, which invite you to perform now and again. But it seems to me the more important people that we should be connecting with is the people in the smaller towns, the villages even.
What are the smaller towns that you go to?
I've been to a few little towns in Pahang, in Terengganu as well. And again, because I do such a diverse range of music, I've performed with the RTM Orchestra up in Alostar. I've performed in Terengganu, Kuala Terengganu, and various places like that, in smaller towns in Johor too. That's only because I have such a diverse range of performances.
Perhaps we should just look at Akasha, right? This organization or this music company, this music band is going to be 10 years old next year. You
That's
were
right.
formed in 2008. As Akasha, how often do you go outside of KL?
Again, the short answer would be not nearly enough. Akasha, as you said, formed in 2008 at the Rainforest Festival in Sarawak, and then we decided to form it as a proper entity.
So it was a loose organization just to perform?
It was just seven friends. It was just seven friends, and then we got together. We had the opportunity to perform at the Rainforest. So we called ourselves Akasha, put together some music, and went there and did it, and it became such a big success. And, you know, people started asking us immediately, hey, where are your CDs? And then we realized, hey, we don't have CDs.
So and
we
then need you to, came out with one.
And then we came back and we went to the studio and got one out immediately. And then we did the album launch and the rest is history. So yeah, we formed in 2008. And since then, the major events that we have participated in are international. We have traveled, I think, now to 14 countries, performed in 150 different festivals and events throughout the world. Back in Malaysia, at the moment, it's corporate events, it's wedding receptions, until the next album launch that we plan to do, hopefully in conjunction with our 10th anniversary. But yeah, these activities happen again in the big cities. The smaller towns, we have tried to connect with NGOs and with other groups to collaborate with us to take Akasha into the more rural areas, if you like, and where we could do a performance and then an interactive workshop and then even try to inspire them to take up music and find a way of bringing them from these places into a nearby city so that we can teach them. But so far, I would have to sadly admit that this has not happened yet.
Your musicians do not always perform as this singular entity, Akasha.
Sure.
You know, I'm aware that you play with Temple of Fine Arts. You play outside as a like a freelance sitar player.
Yes, I do.
What are the challenges of keeping Akasha, you know, like the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, or U2, you know, Coldplay as an entity, and that's how you perform, and that's how you will be identified.
Okay, so Akasha has branded itself, or is built up as a fairly niche sort of instrumental music band. World music, fusion music, I don't know. I mean, there are all these weird words that we use, you know, Malaysian fusion, world music or something like that. But yes, we each one of us, we are a seven-member band, and each one of us perform in various capacities. We have Nizam, who is a nasi lemak salesperson, and he part-times as a musician. Jamie, who is the songwriter of the band, he's a full-time guitar player, and he travels mainly to China and Taiwan, performing with pop stars over there. And I'm a sitar player, sitar teacher, attached with the Temple of Fine Arts, as well as freelance, as you said. So all of us have different activities going on. We come together as Akasha for the passion of playing Akasha's music. Again, we don't want to adulterate that music too much, so we've kept the music as per the compositions of Jamie up to this point, and you know, kept it fairly niche. What it takes to stay together as Akasha, I believe that's your question, right? My first comment would be friendship. I think a band cannot exist beyond a certain short span of time if you're not friends, if you do not gel well, if you do not understand each other, if you do not enjoy each other's company besides the music, a band's not going to stick. So we have stuck together for 10 years. The biggest factor I contribute is friendship. The second one is, again, maybe we are a band of slightly more mature musicians, if you'd like. We are not the teenage rock group.
But the thing is
group.
That you are not always together, though. I mean, like you all have jobs outside.
Sure.
Or you only come in together. Why is it not possible to be like the Beatles? I mean, the Beatles didn't go freelance with somebody else and then come in between when they're doing their concerts.
Again, attribute that to the nicheness of Akasha's music. It's appealing to most of the crowd when we play. Our albums have sold, we have, you know, it's not in the count of pop music albums, but we have sold a fair few thousand. But again, I think the opportunities to perform are limited. And, you know, again, perhaps it's arguable if we had the right PR, if we had the right marketing people, maybe Akasha would be more successful, where we would be able to perform and get out there a lot more and make a lot more money to survive. But at this point of time, and up to this point of time, we haven't managed to do that. And that, I think, answers the question as to why we have to find diverse things. But again, most musicians in Malaysia, discounting the very top pop musicians, most musicians have to find various avenues of performing as opposed to just one entity in order to survive. I don't think one entity alone can cut it for an extended period of time.
Actually, when I look at the musicians who play in orchestras, sometimes you see this group's philharmonic, they're in this other state philharmonic, they're in the National Symphony, whatever.
Yep.
You know,
and then a little ensemble performing at a wedding reception or something like that too, yes.
These are, I guess, the realities of being in Malaysia, or is just musicians worldwide tend to be like that, except for those who are at the top?
I do think it is a worldwide phenomenon. From the little that I know of musicians in different countries and different... You know, as a musician, you do like a little bit of diversity. You do like different genres, different types of music, experiment in and perform. That could be one reason that musicians do this. Of course, monetary reasons, financial reasons, you know, the more groups that you're involved with, the more lucrative your profession becomes. And whether or not one single entity can provide a means to musicians in general, I don't know. But definitely in Malaysia, most of the musicians that I know, even the ones attached to the National Symphony Orchestra or whichever group, do tend to freelance a little bit and, you know, to get diverse opportunities.
Now, you are going up to Ipoh next weekend to perform. And this is a fundraiser.
Yes.
So does that mean you're performing for free? I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, it's embarrassing that you put me in the spotlight. But we have a little cost. We don't charge a commercial rate. We don't charge a market rate. But, yeah, we do try to get our costs covered.
Yeah. What is this event? Do you know?
So this is an Akasha night. I think it's called the Rhythm of the Rainbow.
Which I find quite interesting because rainbow is something visual, not That's sound, right?
Well, I think they're tying it in with the seven colors of the rainbow and seven musicians on stage, seven different flavors of instrumentation. Hence the concept and the
they
name.
They came up with the name.
They came up with the name. And they
not
is...
Akasha.
Not Akasha. So they is basically the Ipoh Fine Arts Society, formed about, I think, 20, 25 years ago. And I think a place like Ipoh, which is right in the middle of Peninsular Malaysia, needs an organization to promote the fine arts especially. I do know that most bands, groups, performances take place in Kuala Lumpur. If at all they're going to go on tour to Malaysia, then it would be Penang or Johor, JB, maybe even Melaka. But sorry, Ipoh, Seremban, you know, they kind of get bypassed
actually,
all the time.
Seremban is quite happening.
Yeah, maybe. Seremban. Again, because of the proximity to KL. But then Ipoh is one of those poor little souls left out all the time.
So it's actually incumbent on folks like you who are performing and performing on the world stage to go to Ipoh to let them know how great the performing arts
yes.
is in Malaysia.
This show came about through a conversation with the president of the Ipoh Fine Arts Society, Ms. Shanti Kumar. So when she mooted the idea of bringing Akasha, you know, she didn't know what it would cost and how it bring it about. But when she spoke to us and she said, look, is it possible? I think we jumped at the opportunity. Again, it fitted with our aim of outreach, of getting out there, getting our music out there. We performed in Ipoh a couple of times in the past, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, but it's been quite a while. So we were very happy to go to Ipoh. And further, she then talked about the concept of making it a fundraiser for the Perak Society of Special Needs Children. And we thought that was great. I mean, something that we are very keen about, very keen to support. And so it came about that way. And so again, my point to Mrs. Shanti was, look, whatever it takes, let's just make this happen. We'll talk about the costs later. We'll talk about how to make it work, but let's make it work.
We are artists, we are musicians, and our rewards is in the next life.
That's deep. I don't know if there is a next life, but yes, let's.
Akasha will be performing in Ipoh on Sunday, August 6th at 8 p.m. The Ballroom Xuan Hotel in Ipoh is the venue for the performance, which is called Rhythms of the Rainbow. This is a fundraiser for children with special needs. And to secure seats at this singular performance, you can call 016-532-1087 or 012-526-9329. Best, I think, to go to Ipoh Fine Arts Society's Facebook page and you can get the information there. Thank you very much, Kumar.
Thank you, Sun Heng.
Always fun talking to you. You've got so many stories to tell.
It's great being here. I feel like this is partly home.
This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.